I remember the music for this movie was a big stress for me, trying to figure out like if any music is public domain, if this music is public domain. That was a huge dilemma getting this started.
A lot of it is public domain.
I don't know.
A lot of great stuff is public domain.
Yeah.
So I think the thing here was finding some old blues and jazz and putting it all together.
Yeah. This was a weird mashup. It was like, I wanted to get the film noir in there, some of the black exploitation. I think there was even like some Sin City inspiration. But yeah, when I found this music, I was like, man, this is perfect.
Oh yeah.
This music is just
perfect. I think it's one of the best soundtracks ever made. No, I'm not joking. I love the music. It's old, it's soulful, it has that feel to it that just plays right into the movie.
It doesn't it fit perfectly.
It does.
Yeah.
It really, really does. I mean, honestly, I know that you have another version of code that you've done,
mm-hmm.
but for the black and white version, this is perfect.
Yeah.
You can't get better.
Yeah. Yeah.
And now we kind of have that Sin City look of the red credits rolling.
I want to get some red in the actual movie, but that's something you have to like really plan out while you're shooting. Not something you could just slap together in post.
Yeah, I think we were hoping to get like some of the blood spills in red, but
yeah, there's no way to do that unless you pre-planned it or unless you have some decent like special effects budget. But I personally don't know how to do it.
You just can't fix it in editing, huh?
Hey, keep it moving, fix it in editing, man. KIM. Fix it in post.
Oh boy. I like a little freeze frame right there. That was nice.
Yeah. Try to add some style to it.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the reasons this is such high contrast and it's in black and white, part is because of artistic reasons. The other part is out of necessity because we just really did this super guerrilla style.
Yeah.
A very short period of time. No mic. Hardly any light setup, if we did light setup. No boom audio, just the camera audio. This is just like grab and go type shooting.
Yeah. Well, that was the thing, is like after our first few movies that we did, there was just sort of this education period of looking at a lot of Al Adamson movies and movies that were done on like zero budgets.
De-education or education?
Education, yeah. And just really starting to see like, you know, movies that we thought were no good and just realizing that these people were shooting on like a zero budget and just trying to make ends meet, you know? Mm-hmm. So some of that, like, you know, you learn from other filmmakers who've gone through it. And here, you know, we went through it.
It's funny, we were using a video camera like it was a film camera. We were like limiting our takes and just like acting like it was like precious footage. Because I use like, I would say 90 to 95% of everything we shot is on screen.
Right.
There's hardly anything that isn't.
But see, I think here in some ways, though, we were, as filmmakers, pretty astute in what we were doing. Like, we weren't, it wasn't like House of the Damned where it was just kind of building the plane as we were flying it. Like, we kind of knew what we were doing here and getting into it.
Mm-hmm.
But the goal was to shoot fast. To get as much
mission
done
as accomplished
possible, to get as much done as possible,
check two,
and to completely get through it in a weekend if we could,
check three.
Yeah,
so a lot of these cutaways are just because of camera shadows and shit like that, like I didn't want to get on screen. Amazingly enough, like during the pandemic I was able to do a color version without any of the cutaways. I just had more time to like tweak the editing. But it was tough to get a lot of the shadows and a lot of that stuff out because there's literally just like one take, one shot, one angle and all these things. So it's like you have a camera shot, there's nothing else to cut to. I don't know how I was able to do it in the color version, but I guess we'll look at it when we get there. But this Adonis, he plays the main bad guy. He's in there one day, a few hours. He was the main antagonist in the whole movie.
Literally. Yeah, this was, we hadn't shot in a while prior to this.
Mm-hmm.
And I know his goal was to just line people up and get people done as quickly as we could. Thinking back on it, it almost is like a blur. Like, I showed up on a Friday and it was over on a Sunday, the majority of it. So we were very efficient. But I know that, like, with me doing a lot of camera work, when I would take time off, it's like you just kind of regress. Like, a shadow gets caught in there, boom gets caught in there, and the angle's not right. It's one of those things, because when you're an independent filmmaker, you shoot intermittently. You know, you plan on shooting constantly, but in the actual shoot, it takes 3 days. And the other 363 days of the year, you're planning to shoot.
Here's the apartment where, like, 99% of the movie was shot.
Yes.
No, listen, nigga. Like, listen. I'm tired.
She's just sitting around her house like that. This full lingerie up.
Jewelry on. High heels.
Like, you just open over. No.
I got to read your bathroom for a minute.
I think this bathroom scene was partially inspired by a scene in Brown Bunny, where the girl just went in the bathroom and just started smoking crack, walked back out, talked to her boyfriend, said, I gotta go. Went back in the bathroom, smoked more crack.
Are you sure that's not like Lust for Vengeance?
Or every other movie we've done?
Yeah, I think every movie we have, somebody gets high, usually in that bathroom too.
Yeah. I think with that scene specifically, because it was like a couple arguing, and then just one of them just kept doing drugs and going back and forth. But yeah, we do the bathroom drug scenes stuff a lot.
Drugs
everywhere.
What the fuck came here to tell you something big?
I think this whole movie was handheld, right? I don't think a tripod was used at any point.
Sure, maybe a little bit.
Really?
Yeah, maybe.
I don't think so.
Slightly, but mostly handheld.
We'll see. I don't think there was a tripod. I know there was no boom. And I don't think there were lights. I mean, this could be a light right there, because she looks a little spotlighted.
Yeah.
It's possible, but that could be sunlight too.
Minimal light. I mean, I think the movie we shot prior to this was like Tortured by Regret, which we were pretty elaborate with, like, lighting setups and stuff.
That
like
was
that.
The most technical film we did.
Yeah, like, and then here it's like, how long was it between shooting for these movies? Like a year, 2 years?
Maybe even more. It was a while.
Yeah, a while. In those 2 years, you forget everything. And I'm just trying to stay warm and shoot as quickly as we could. And a lot of it was just grab and go. Like, you go in there and, like, set everything up, and it's like, okay, we're ready to go. Just like, hit record.
Yeah. So this is a situation where my living room was her apartment, and my bedroom is my apartment.
Literally the angle, but it's all in the same room. And as you brought up before, like, I don't know exactly why we shot everything there. Like, we had other rooms and other places to shoot.
I think we were doing House to the Damned commentary. And that was the first movie we shot together, first film. And we used every bit of that house, including the backyard, the roof, everything. And it was like, I just amazed at how big that house was, because it was a four-family house.
Yeah.
And I immediately thought of this movie where we shot everything in one apartment. It's like, why did we do that again?
No idea.
So this Barbie, she turned out pretty interesting, because I think going into it, we were like, everything's going to be ad-libbed. And I don't know how the schedule worked out, but she was hanging out with myself and Crystal, another girl in the film, all day. And it was like, she was like, hey, like, you know, I don't have to ad-lib, I can memorize stuff. And I think she memorized, like, all of her lines.
Yeah, she did.
Because it was going to be all ad-lib, but it was an unfinished script I did that was going to be the basis of it. And I just gave her all the scenes for her particular character, because I think her character was the only one that was actually fleshed out. I think it was just supposed to be one girl. I think we were just into, like, the coming off of Trade Off and Tortured, where it's just like, all right, we're gonna have five sex scenes in every movie type thing. But I think the script was just like one main girl, and she was it, and she somehow morphed into five. But the scripted part, she learned her lines pretty much right away.
Yeah. You never know with some actresses. Some of them can just come in, they can memorize their lines, and others you can give them like 3 weeks and they just can't figure anything out.
So this is what I can't understand. I know this is audio, but for my benefit, can you at least do hand quotes when you say actress? I know the people listening won't see it, but at least for my benefit, do the hand quotes when you say actress. This is a wild outfit she had, man.
It is. I couldn't really fully understand this. It's like a thong, but then like underpants. And a lot of stuff going on.
Metallic stuff in there.
Yeah. I wonder what she would wear this to.
I don't know.
If not for this movie.
Another audition, maybe?
I don't think we asked her to wear that.
she just showed up with it.
She just showed up with this thing on.
Didn't I tell you always wore baby?
I don't know if we even had any options where it's like, like, hey, what are we going to wear in this? Yeah, I think that's all she had.
Yeah.
I certainly wasn't arguing with it.
Well, this is another full circle thing of a character who doesn't deserve to get laid. Constantly does.
I mean, the reality of it, this movie is like, it'd be two things. One, he would always get laid because his character's a pimp.
Mm-hmm.
Or two, he's an actual loser and he would never get laid. So, I guess we went with the former.
This is some early versions of twerking here. Way before
the twerking. That's a good point.
You know, we were doing it way before most people.
Yeah, yeah. Because
twerking wasn't even a thing. It wasn't even called twerking back then. We did it.
Yeah.
Really, we have to just come up with like a list of the things that we invented as filmmakers.
The first fast moving zombie, the first rapping zombie.
It's an
twerking.
It's an extensive list. It really, really is.
Yeah. Here's another situation where the music just fits so perfect because he's singing about cocaine and you got all the coke on my face.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you listen to the lyrics to a lot of these songs, like one, they're great, and two, they fit so perfect, like we said before. I don't think there was any acting there. I was say that about a lot of this movie. Wasn't any acting going on.
Oh my god, man. I don't remember all that happening.
You almost think like she has experience doing stuff like that.
Yeah.
Almost.
It seemed like it, right?
Yeah. So this is more like padding out stuff, like after the fact, try to get like some stats in there and things like that to enhance what you're watching on screen. And also get the full length of the song. I mean, this movie's just over an hour. We did the blaxploitation thing where it's just
that's
like
what I've always
play
loved.
Every string of every song.
Yeah, that's what I always love about this movie is there's something here that's being said. I'm telling you, like, there's something, there's a message to it. Like a strong socially conscious message that you don't find that in other movies, and we're bringing it here.
Yeah. I think this and Scumbag may have been the last movies where I did high solicitation for reviews.
Mm-hmm.
I think after that, like, I stopped doing it as much. But this, up to these, up to from like House of the Damned to Scumbag Hustler, we had a lot of reviews for our movies. I remember there were a couple of reviewers that fell for that.
Yeah.
They're like, man, he's really saying a social message in here.
Well, we were.
With all the dead bodies,
we were.
The text. And it's like, you know, it's like, what does it say? What does Ace Jackson say about us as a society?
Exactly. What does it say? Like, something's being said here.
What does that Playboy say right there? Like, who was in the cover of that one?
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Here's where the high contrast helps to hide. Or keep it.
Oh, wow. That's
some
high contrast.
There's definitely some angles we couldn't use here if it wasn't high contrast. What am I saying about society when I say these lines here?
There's a lot. Man. There's a lot. A lot of messages, a lot of reality.
What is sniffing coke off her ass say?
It's just the backside of the world. Somebody just looking for pleasure in the darkest, most hidden parts of those of society. There's a message here. Man. I always felt it.
What do you mean?
So as far as the mashup of genres go, where the film noir aspect comes in is the actual script was written as a film noir. This was shot, I say it was written as a film noir, all the scripted stuff and the overall plot line. Obviously, you know, the execution was more guerrilla style blaxploitation type. So it's a decent mashup, and obviously with the high contrast and all that stuff, you get the Sin City vibe. So it's a mashup of a lot of different things.
Right. Film noir is something we've always loved. We never, unfortunately, had the chance to do a pure film noir.
No, we had a pivot point where I'd written a script called The Deadly Affair. It was a really good script. But we decided to go with the trade-off instead.
Right.
Then when we went back to A Deadly Affair, we had casting issues.
That's right.
But yeah, I had written several film noirs. We ended up going with softcore films instead.
I love this song.
I love all these songs, man. I, like you said, I mean, you're right. I could just listen to the soundtrack.
Yeah, soundtrack's great.
Yeah. Now, if we were like really like weren't gunning through, I would have probably liked more of a better shot of the of this scene right here, where she leaves the card. And all these exteriors we're seeing, they were all shot in like one day, within like a couple hours tops.
Maybe
an hour. It wasn't very long.
Very, very quickly.
It was all one neighborhood within just like, and again, we used every take. Yep. Everywhere I walked, I just put it in the movie and different parts to break up the fact that it's all one apartment.
Yeah.
Listen, Big O should be careful the way he talks to me, okay?
So this isn't my apartment, but it's just like one floor above. The living room above. Honestly, with the high contrast, you can't even tell the difference.
No.
And you ain't gonna be shit, bitch. Who the fuck do you think you are? John guy?
I mean, this Ace Jackson guy takes verbal abuse, physical abuse, the whole movie. Mm-hmm. It's like, it really is just like coming to an end for this guy. It never gets better. It just starts bad and gets worse.
Pretty much. Pretty much.
And he keeps getting laid, too. Which just defies anything. Like, you'd never find a guy rolling up shit creek like this who keeps getting poontang constantly. Or would you? I don't know.
Yeah, it's tough to say.
It should be you. You know what I believe in? My motherfucking life. So you better do this shit right, jackass.
Waleed was really good in this.
He was.
This tongue lashing scene, all of his scenes I thought were really good. Brought some energy to it.
Yep.
I don't remember how much of his stuff was scripted. It feels that way because of how smooth he rolls, but it could have been ad lib too. I don't know.
Yeah. You may have just given him like the parameters and just roll with it.
Mm-hmm. But he's definitely someone that if we gave him the lines, he would have knocked it out away too.
Yeah, he's very capable of that. A lot of this stuff seems like it was in daytime in the colored version, and this it seems like night.
Yeah.
I could be off. But
yeah, no, you're right, yeah. You're right.
Because so far it seems like every scene we shot was at night in this movie.
Well, that's what the black and white high contrast feel gives to it, you know? So. But yeah, this scene had a lot of shadows because you were on me so tight. For the craziness.
But didn't we already have like a plan of showing like different scenes of like lynchings and stuff like that?
I don't know if we planned anything, honestly.
Yeah, I thought that was part of the idea. So like it's like mix in the old music with pictures of murders and lynching, trying to give it that whole angle. I thought we did. I'm sure that there were like shadows, but I think we did speak about that there was some intention of doing this.
I don't remember that. I mean, you could be right.
I think we did. I think we wanted to show like lynchings and beheadings and hangings and stuff like that because it's all kind of a harbinger of things to come for Ace.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that was definitely part of that.
You sound like one of these movie reviewers that watch the movie. No, I'm saying like people did read that into it.
Yeah, no, but I did remember having this conversation. Like I do remember speaking about that because I wanted it to have that kind of feel of like, you know, of injustice. Not that Ace Jackson's injustice is anything like theirs, but I think that there was a conversation about doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was just random because I don't know what would have made you pull out pictures like that anyway if we hadn't had some, you know, conversation about doing it.
It fit.
Yeah, exactly. That's the thing. It would fit with the music, it would fit with the arc of this character.
This was shot in the apartment across the street from me. All that hallway stuff. Yeah, that old government assistant apartment across the street.
I don't remember the range that close.
Yeah.
What are we gonna do? No, what are you gonna do? You gonna take your ass out of here and find that shit.
That's my favorite line of the movie. We're in trouble. It's
like,
that's my favorite line.
Oh, Wally has some of the best lines in this movie, yeah, man.
He deads that real fast. We're in trouble.
It's not even the line, it's his reaction to it. What are we gonna do?
Don't try to go there with me. You're in trouble. You figure that out.
Trust me.
Yeah. I think these two back-to-back scenes were some of the best scenes he did with us because he was in a lot of our movies.
Yeah.
But I think the scene before this on the couch and this scene were really up there with some of the best scenes he's done.
I must have given you this one.
I don't know, I got it.
I would always quote this one about the debt, which is probably you could double it or triple it by now. Way more than $3 trillion. See if we can install like a running tally for the movie, if possible.
Hello? Yo, see, this is Chelsea. Yeah, the girl from earlier. What's going on?
Yeah, there's the upstairs apartment, so this wasn't my place, but again, still the same house.
Is that where that guy used to cook up the crack in there?
You had it already. I told you, I'm leaving town tomorrow. I can't do it tomorrow. It has to be now. Bring my money. No. 50, like I told you.
Surprised she's not wearing that metallic G-string thing.
To come now. I don't have a fucking day to play the time. You want to do business? I got the shit. Pretty
looking
much
very civilian here.
Now.
That's right. Who's this? That's a switch.
Man, this was really dark, this scene. I had to do a lot to brighten it up. It was dark when we were out here.
Well, actually, it's going to a party, so. Yeah.
By yourself?
Well, I have my friends that are waiting for me, actually.
She did become a valuable commodity for him.
Oh, yeah. You might want to cut that up a little bit. You know, like, you walk around this time of night like that. Listen, I don't think it's...
Was this filmed near your house, or is this more like Park Slope area?
I think it's more Park Slope. This definitely wasn't near my house. Remember we drove out somewhere and shot this.
This was like Amherst. This was like... really early in the morning too. Like,
was it? I thought it was really late. No. Well, I guess really late or really early, either way, is the same run.
This is like the first day when we were all done with that last girl.
Mm-hmm.
Her?
Yeah, we were definitely done with her.
We went down to Park Slope and was shot. It had to be like 3 in the morning, 4 in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
I remember being real tired during that scene.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, so many of these scenes were just like, all right, so this is the premise. Go, guys. Let's get it done.
Yeah.
Who the fuck is you calling a bitch? Give me my money. I don't know what you got going on here.
This dude doesn't know what to say. He took the shit, but he's just like, bitch.
Straight up. He doesn't know what to say. First, he goes from bitch to hoe. It's progressing. Yeah, I think there were like 3 types of scenes we had. We had the scenes that were scripted, which again, Barbie did a good job memorizing. We have the scenes where it's like, okay, here are some key lines and notes you want to hit. And then we had some scenes where it was just like, all right, this is where we start, this is where we end, go for it, you know? So this, I think the scene before this and this scene were kind of like, all right, this is what we want to accomplish, do it. Some of the early stuff with Barbie were fully scripted.
Mm-hmm.
I think some of the stuff with Waleed was, here are some key lines and then just take it from there.
I got my money, it's all good.
This is just extraordinary. Those drugs are gone. Ace is gonna pay the price for that. He's gonna pay.
Man, the budget for this special effects scene, man, almost bankrupts me.
See, I was hoping that, like, on a scene like that where she gets shot to just splatter the screen with red. But that might have been too tough to do as well.
Yeah.
Ace on the prowl again. How do you, that's the same one he just met, right?
Yeah, yeah. It's the same night. Same night.
Straighten up that room.
Back to the room.
Oh, yeah.
I wonder where this one's headed.
I couldn't tell you. Stay tuned.
This is the mystery part of this film. It's also a mystery. Like, how does this scene end?
She's in for a rough ride in this movie. Like she gets. She's.
I thought you were saying the scene.
Oh, the scene too. Yeah. But in the movie, this character here, man, she.
Yeah, she goes through it.
Yeah. Really proves that Ace just is an immoral character. it's like we wonder if there is a way to feel sorry for this guy or not. It's it's hard to figure out.
It's tough. It's tough.
Yeah.
Because they make you feel, well, we make you feel sorry for him in some scenes. And in some scenes, it's like, this piece of shit.
Yeah.
You know? It's like,
you want to look for redeeming values, like try to root for him.
Mm-hmm.
Hope that when he dies, it's not all that bad.
Mm-hmm.
But it's tough. But he really does a lot of people dirty throughout the movie.
Yes, he does. Yes, he does. Well, you know, it's kind of like that desperation where it's just like, you're going to take everyone down with you if you're going to go.
Yeah.
I know. There's a first time for everything.
So he meets her. He has sex with her. She seems like she's good. Mm-hmm. Now it's like, here, smoke some crack. it's always that moment. And then so, like, as you'll see in the movie, him turning her into a crackhead, it doesn't even end there. There's more. It just goes downhill. Like, it's like most guys would have been happy with knocking the boots, but no, not Ace. Oh, I'm going to shoot you up. Okay. The crack wasn't enough. Now you're going to be a straight heroin junkie.
Oh, man. You remember a movie called They Call Her One Eye?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of like that, you know? It's just like,
right.
It's not just good enough to have, you got to turn her out, get her hooked on the drugs.
Yeah. And now he's going to pimp her out. Oh my god, man.
I believe in you.
Oh no.
You can do this. I'm gonna try to get this money.
I understand. So what's messed up about it? Well, there's a lot messed up about it. But I mean, so even if he gets the money, he's probably gonna use a lot of that money for his own purposes. It's never gonna be clean. Like, he's not gonna take this money and pay off the dealer.
No, no.
He's gonna use probably half of it or more.
This is why I never give bums on the street money. Because they're just gonna use it for alcohol and drugs.
Exactly.
Not gonna use it for food. Just like Ace's. He's not going to use this to pay off.
No.
His debts.
He's too deep in it at this point.
Yeah.
He doesn't even, in some ways, you wonder if he even knows what he wants to do. He just wants her to go in there and bring him something back. I mean, that's probably as far as this guy's thinking.
I think you once said this before, like, you can even, like, put, I'm paraphrasing, but you can put people on an even field. If someone is, like, born into money and they know how to handle it, even if they have no money, they'll figure out a way to get money, you know.
Right.
And you can put a loser in a good situation, they'll find a way to be a loser,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, no matter what happens, Ace is gonna be a loser.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, no matter what, even if he gets some money, right, he'll blow it.
Mm-hmm.
Some people are just bottom feeders.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what he is.
That's what they say. If you reset everything in terms of money and finance, the same people are going to end up at the top and the same are going to end up at the bottom.
Yeah, that's a better way of putting it than I did. But yeah, essentially. And Ace will end up on the bottom. And the top and the side and hitting it from behind.
Oh, you hurt me. Oh, okay.
I love how the fact that she's being abused, but we're seeing Ace anguishing about the money. It's like that money while we're hearing her abuse. The economy of that, that is great filmmaking right there.
Well, reality is he doesn't even know what's going on. He can't hear what's happening.
Yeah, this is the audience's benefit.
It has to be the money.
Yeah, this is the audience benefit is hearing what she's going through. Mm-hmm. So we get to see the contrast of that, where he's just stressed about his money and what she's going through for his money. Mm-hmm. And then we'll see how he reacts to all that in the next scene.
I mean, I look at him as he's just stressed to take us so long.
That's a good point, too.
That's it. He's like, hurry the fuck up. Like, give me my money. He doesn't care about what she's going through. He already had sex with her, turned her on to crack and heroin. He's done with that. He just wants money.
Yeah, she just wants to go home. She just wants to ride home from a party. That's rough, man. That's rough.
That's a horrible scene right there. You only wonder. I wonder why in Full Circle World we didn't show what was going on there. Because normally we would. That's an interesting thing. But I mean, it's good that it kept that as a mystery.
Yeah.
But normally with us, we don't withhold a whole lot. Mm-hmm. But I don't know.
Yes, you can. You can and you will. Okay? I need this freaking money, girl. Okay?
Now she's all the way turned out. She's tweaking. High on crack and heroin.
How did my life get to this point?
She just got abused by somebody. What's up next? Is she gonna get killed? Where does her life go?
She's not gonna be that lucky. Yeah. She has to suffer.
Are you listening?
Oh boy.
Yeah, way to make use of that money, Ace. Mm-hmm. Momentary escape from his stress.
Yeah. He has a lot going on.
Yeah, yeah.
I can't. You know what it's like.
He's gonna calm her down,
I'll
I think.
Take care of you, okay? Oh. I just need you to get some. I need you to hit those streets. I need you to turn some tricks. Then when you're done,
I think I was aiming for that whole like top of the world scene in that yeah. pimp thing we saw.
Every pimp movie.
Well, I'll take you to the top of the world. You took it to the Empire State Building or something.
What was it?
Did I say I take you to the top of the world?
What was it, the top of like a Denny's or something?
See, did not promise you I take you to the top of the world, man. I couldn't believe that scene.
Oh my god.
I think that's what I was aiming for with that
one. Some more socially relevant facts here.
Hey man.
Down here.
Yeah, yeah. And hey, we got that red in there somewhere, right? Even if it's just the font. And again, this was that one day where we did all that shooting.
Yeah. This whole area now has changed. There's like a Whole Foods over there and a whole bunch of other stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've been to that Whole Foods a couple times.
Yeah. I think this building is the only building around there that still exists.
Mm.
I don't even know what it was. It's just kind of...
It looks like an apartment, huh?
Yeah, it's like an apartment all by itself.
Yeah.
There's the Gowanus Canal, which is now they're renovating everything and building all kinds of homes over there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we just didn't have the budget for extras even in this scene.
I know.
And some extras chasing me around would have been a nice touch. Mm-hmm. We just had to fake the funk here.
Yep.
Have his paranoia kicking from all the drugs.
Trust me, nobody's following him over there. This guy, he's hallucinating. Is it the drugs or is it just the paranoia? Who knows?
Yeah.
It's something.
Again, that apartment across the street. I think we filmed me going in and out of that like several times. I think I used most of them in the movie. knew this one was your idea. Back to my apartment.
Oh yeah, just unprovoked attack.
He's gonna break, man.
Oh man, that was very unprovoked. No reason for that type of violence.
That pressure, man.
Yeah. Where I got that inspiration from, if that was me, was that scene from Marked for Death with Steven Seagal, where Screwface just comes up, is just sitting there playing
domino. Oh, that domino scene? Really?
Yeah. And he's just, some guy comes over and whispers.
I wish you would have told me. I would have played it differently then.
Yeah. Just unprovoked. Hit the guy with a 2x4 or something.
I wish you would have told me. I would have played it much differently if I knew that was the inspiration. Yeah. I just played it like as I'm boiling over and I just take out my frustration on her.
Mm-hmm.
But he played it more nuanced.
Yeah.
It was just like, yeah. It kind of built up to it.
No. You calm down. Time is ticking, baby. The weekend has come and gone. You promised me I would have my money.
Again, this is his scenes were shot so quickly. This might have been like one of two takes we did.
I barely remember any of his scenes. Most of these things seem like they're running one or two takes.
Yeah.
Someone is not going to make it too thirsty.
He was like, hey, talk shit about him. Perfect. Next scene.
This is good.
Yeah.
I'm not worried, baby.
Very professional. He was in a few different movies too for us.
Yeah, he was this, The Trade-Off, Torture by Regret.
Wednesday.
That might have been it. Oh, and The Fappening.
Mm-hmm.
All the movies he just had like one scene or so.
Mm-hmm.
I think this has been the most scenes he's had in a movie. Mm-hmm. I think the others were just all like one scene maybe.
Hard times. I think he's gonna need somebody to cheer him up. Oh, the self-loathing.
You know what this guy is?
Is that the fridge? Yeah, before the music kicked in, I thought I was hearing the fridge buzzing.
That fridge was loud.
Yeah. We usually plugged it out, but I guess like we're too gorilla to plug it out here. Let's get this shit done. They're not worried about the fridge. They're worried about her tits coming out.
Yeah.
I think we were more big picture in the
We should have Fast and Furious here.
Pretty much. It's like, are we going to worry about the camera setups, the lighting, boom mic, fridge noise? Let me just get to the plot scene.
Yeah. She was one that we had tried to shoot with for quite a while.
She was in the fold. She was up for that part that Crystal Bates got.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I don't know why Crystal got it over her. Or if she just fell, I don't know what happened. But she was supposed to be in the tortured / mending a sex addict.
Uh-huh.
She was in the fold since then.
She was around there for a while.
Yeah.
I never saw her, but I remember her, like her information online, and just always seeing her over and over and over, thinking like she's one of those elusive people that we can never get into doing anything.
I don't remember if like she was elusive. Maybe we may have not just used her.
No, she was out there for a while.
Mm-hmm.
We had always wanted to use her for this or that, but just never did.
I don't remember.
Until I
remember Trouble, who we'll see later, was elusive and that we were trying to get nail her down. I don't remember why we didn't shoot with her sooner.
Mm-hmm.
I thought we just didn't use her, but I could be wrong. She could have been elusive.
I told you Big O's gonna kill you.
What do you mean we, baby?
I told you Big O's gonna kill you. We gotta go. We gotta hide.
I don't have anything to do with that.
But what just happened there?
I mean, I sympathize with you and I feel bad.
That's sympathy fuck.
That's not my
apartment. Yeah, and it's my apartment, just the living room part.
Yeah.
Excuse me. Well, since you don't put it like that, you can consider it your last wish.
Don't just come. Baby, I love you. Why are you acting like
that? Yeah, I love you. Good God.
He seems so genuine,
it's
too,
like
though.
Pull anything out.
You're just gonna leave me up there to die? Stop it. Wash my hands.
You should have just gave her some crackers. Like, softened her up a bit.
Well, he has to have a different approach with different women.
Yeah.
Remember the Sharon Stone character in Casino?
Mm-hmm.
Where it's like some guy she games and some guy she was really in love with.
Yep.
You know, this is Ace. Some girls he games and some girls he has that emotional connection.
Now, my inspiration for this was the Watergate break-in.
Mm.
So I had the Richard Nixon mask.
Yeah, I remember there was a, I think I had called you. I was like, they have Richard Nixon and they have Obama. I think I had asked you, at least that, not Nixon, it was Bush. Mm-hmm. It was Bush or Obama. It does look Nixon, but I think it was Bush or Obama. And I think you had picked Bush.
Hallelujah,
I'm a bummer.
Is that a Richard Nixon?
No, it looks it. Oh, it does look like it. Yeah. No, it's George Bush and Obama were the two that the star was like, which one do you think I should get? I think you said Bush. You can go with Nixon. It looks close enough, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, this scene was really long.
It was.
So I just sped it up.
Yeah.
Speeding up also hit the camera shadows too. Along the high contrast. But it was like really, really long.
That is why I am hiking down Jim Hill's main line. Hallelujah, I'm a bum. Hallelujah, bum again. Hallelujah.
This guy's going through every little thing in the house that you find.
Yeah.
I went to a house and I asked for some.
Well, I mean, I think this worked well considering it was like we had the script as like a base. But pretty much it was like, I think once we shot all the scripted scenes right away, we kind of had like the framework of what we're working with.
Yeah.
And then we just shot and like, all right, where can we take this? And kind of figure things out as we went, you know? It's just like, all right, we're here. We got the camera. We have myself or if it's just when we have other actors. And it's all right, what can we think of that what this character would go through or that we can shoot with our resources that we could do right away.
Uh-huh.
I think we did a good job under those circumstances.
Hallelujah, I'm a bum. Hallelujah, bum again. Hallelujah, give us a handout to revive us again. I don't like work, and work don't like
this is one of my favorite songs in the movie.
And that is the reason I am so hungry. Hallelujah, I'm a bum. Hallelujah, bum again. Hallelujah, give us a hand up to revive us again.
There we go.
Ah, this is straight up from a blaxploitation inspiration.
Yep.
With this character here, at least.
Yeah, any black exploitation movie. Just.
Buddy? You might.
Yeah, so I think we were walking around late one night. And this guy showed up, and he was the only other, these are the only thugs we had, our extras in the movie. And we just like figuring out ways like Ace can interact with them and add some action to the movie. And this was Waleek's friend's like little park area that he opened up first.
Yeah, we'd always find some like odd areas to just shoot. Schoolyard, this area, playground.
Yeah.
There's always something like that in there.
Yeah.
Some yummy food.
You know what's weird? For a movie that can be categorized as like a thriller or action, like the action and the killing is very sparse.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's very sparse.
We never had a budget to do like a Rambo.
We didn't have the budget or the fight choreography or anything like that. But I mean, I think that's how you would categorize this as like a thriller, but when it comes to the fighting and the action, it's very little.
Yeah,
I can get some of that money right now.
But I think it works though, you know.
Well, that's tough when you start, you know, people look at these action movies, they don't realize how elaborate they have to be and how choreographed and realistic. There's a lot that goes into that.
Mm-hmm.
We never really had those budgets back then.
No.
No, but yeah, you go. No, she lives at the.
That's gonna be a problem.
Yeah. If I just go there by myself.
Okay, you're right. We're just gonna hang out here, okay?
So, man.
Yeah, you're good. He's good.
Even I didn't know what was happening here. I just said at some point I was gonna get beat up.
Oh man. It's bad, man. Put you a little bit of violence in there. Is that Illa?
No, that's not Illa.
Next time. but I'm gonna be so nice.
Ella would have been a nice touch, but we didn't get over this one.
In weary hands, you brush away the cold.
It's not gonna get better for him though. It doesn't get any better. Hopefully, he can get laid one more time. Something, because things have gone down the tubes for Ace.
Yeah, that's the funny thing. It's like, it's not like a character starts off on top and then sinks. He just, there's no arc. He just goes down.
Yeah, straight down. Straight to the
tubes. Yeah. I guess the only ebbs and flows in the movie is you feel sympathy for him, you feel he's a piece of shit. How you feel about him is what ebbs and flows. But not his arc, though.
Some more statistics on how you're getting robbed by the U.S. government.
Real anti-establishment movie. You insisted on this watermelon, man. I couldn't fight with you because I'm a black man and somehow I had watermelon. So I might as well put it in the film. We didn't even have to specially buy that. That's the last of the blaxploitation references, I guess.
Sexy. Want you all have a seat.
The structure of this film is a lot like the last movie we did, House of the Damned, in the sense that you have like a bunch of different things that you're cutting together. With this, we have the actual footage we shot, and then we're cutting in the statistics, and then we're cutting in a lot of those exterior shots of me walking around that one day for like an hour or two, and just trying to like mash them up to make them like seem like one cohesive thing. Because again, much like House of the Damned, the actual footage is pretty short. If these sex scenes weren't extended.
No, baby. I told you big time. I run those streets. Okay?
You run those streets. I love these lines, man.
But let's not talk about talking about me and you.
For some reason, she just doesn't seem like she's ever buying into him.
No, she doesn't.
The looks on her face is like, show, maybe I'll have sex with you, but I'm sure as hell not going to buy your shit.
You can have my body, but not my mind.
Mm-hmm. He looks like he's having her body. That sure is happening. Man, he's having her body. Oh, wow. From every angle, too. But let's see after this is over. If we get her to hit the streets. See, I'm afraid this movie, in some ways, could inspire people.
Really?
To turn into this for the benefits of all the pussy he's getting.
To the streets. What else?
But this is good contrast to the other girl that he tries to turn out, mm-hmm. in that we say like his same act with two different type of personalities reacting to it.
Right,
you know?
The contrast.
Yeah, yeah.
Definitely.
Because it's the same shtick he's doing with a different woman, and it's
right.
Just a completely different reaction. The other one kind of bought into what he was saying, and
right.
This one is nah.
They both gave him some good content. he's winning in that regard.
The only regard he's winning in.
But in all fairness, mm-hmm. he's not supplying her with cracker or heroin or anything like that either.
Mm-hmm.
That's true. Getting her hooked could be an influence.
That's true. This people need to learn these things.
I mean, there's similarities and there's also some big differences.
Yeah.
She looks real sore.
She does. He didn't even get any liquor or anything.
I think in some ways he's kind of at this point in the movie he's coming off a little softer too. than he did in the beginning. He's more kind of like begging, like please, of like.
Boy, it's getting more intense.
Yeah, the other girl just.
He's running out of time.
The other girl just got pimp slapped, punched, kicked, beat down, hit the streets. That was more of a forceful thing going on with her.
Yeah, he's more desperate here than like forceful. Please, baby, 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 please. What the hell was that dinging bell?
That was like a little apparatus in your door.
Really?
Yeah. And whenever anybody would open it and shut it, it always did that.
Uh-huh.
There were some very distinct noises in that second floor apartment that I always remember.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, there was something on the door. I guess at some point it was a doorbell. And you would like press and it would ring.
So that was someone pressing the bell just now?
No, they probably shut the door.
Oh.
And that sound went off.
Yeah.
Yeah, I used to hear all those sounds. It was that, it was the refrigerator.
Yes, you can. You can and you will.
Because I tried to like hope people it blended in with the music.
Mm-hmm.
But I always wanted to know what the hell that was.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's what it was.
Mm.
When you shut it, they just kind of have like a ding to it, that door.
Mm.
Sometimes your ears just get tired of hearing the same sound so much that you don't even recognize. But yeah, that's what it was.
Yeah. Hey, he does rough her up though.
Well, he had to. She's not going to hit the streets.
He's definitely one of those guys that's okay with hitting women. And when it comes to the guys, he's a little soft.
Well, he usually just beat down with the guy. Caught in the middle.
Yeah. I like this shot where you see him in the mirror, too. You see the gun like flickering in the mirror.
Oh man, this guy's about nothing at this point.
At this point,
it's gotten worse.
He's beginning to look like one of those pitchers.
A full meltdown here. Oh, it's a meltdown.
Literally, he's melting.
He knows it's coming.
Renewable energy. Tesla.
Oh.
Some of this research I did.
Yeah, this is an important fact,
yeah. I'm beginning to rethink my cynicism about this movie.
No, it can't be your cynicism, dude. This movie is political. This movie is social. it has all that going for it.
It's timeless, man, some of these themes.
It is. You can't come out of this movie not knowing something that you didn't know before. You have to look. There's something to be learned, I'm telling you.
Mm-hmm. I'm surprised. We were not out there that long shooting those exterior scenes. I'm surprised at how much usable footage we have.
Yeah.
Because we got a lot of me walking around. We got this stuff where it's like I'm being chased or I think I'm being chased. We have all this robbery stuff scenes. There's enough footage to show me walking in and out of places to make it seem like there are more locations. It's a decent amount that day.
Yeah, definitely. This is something I forgot. I didn't remember that he went back for a second round of robberies.
Yeah.
I always remember the first one in the house, but mm-hmm. this is a whole other sequence, which is pretty cool that he had to go back to it.
Yeah. I know.
No easy money for him.
No. Again, that apartment across the street.
I know when for many, many years we never went near that apartment.
No, this is the only time we shot with that apartment.
Yeah.
I mean, I stayed away from everyone that lived in that neighborhood. I know that block.
Yeah.
I know Illa was like kind of friendly with them. And some of that early stuff we shot, some of those girls used to be friendly with the guys in the neighborhood. Before the full circle days. Well, yeah, me, I never fucked with any of those people. This was in that same day we shot the exteriors too.
I like the freeze frames.
I had to do freeze frame. We couldn't go in and out those doors.
Don't tell anybody that.
If they made it to this point, they might as well know. Oh man, we were trying to get Trouble for a while.
Yeah.
And you know what's funny? It's like Trouble is like the epitome of all these girls in that, like, she was out there for a while, didn't really do much except for that foot fetish stuff. Now she's kind of washed up. This is like a time capsule for her.
The funny thing is, like, a lot of actresses like this, you know, we always...
Can you please?
Okay.
Air quotes.
No, they always kind of, like, were out there, like, having a hard... Yeah, what I'm trying to get at is you never know when they're going to show up or what they're going to show up for.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can try to get them for this project and that project, and this works out and that doesn't work out. And then when you least expect them, they show up. Because I didn't expect her to...
Do you remember what we originally wanted her for?
Yeah, I thought it was The Fix.
Oh.
Yeah, I thought it was.
But didn't if I could remember this completely wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But didn't she show up for something you wanted? She hang on. And then she showed up for something I wanted. And then we realized it was the same girl.
Probably.
Because I think that's how it played out, where it's like, oh, you met her, I met her, and she auditioned for both of us separately, and then we realized.
I knew she was out there. Mm-hmm. I thought that I had gotten her to come through before you did.
You did.
And then for some reason, for that particular movie I was doing, it didn't.
But I thought that I didn't know until I told you, mm-hmm. and you were like, oh, that girl.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when we realized. But I thought she read for something for me before, too.
Possibly. Yeah.
And then she did this. I just don't remember what, because we were shooting The Fix when I met with her.
Yeah.
But I didn't know she had anything to do with you.
Yeah, she did. She came through for me because I did an interview with her. And I don't know if at the time, I think I may have already had enough of a cast or something. I'm not really sure what the story was.
Why would you not want her? Jesus fucking Christ.
I don't know.
Because I remember the day she came through was the same day Stephanie came through for the trade-off.
Okay.
And then I was running late to meet with you.
Mm-hmm.
Someday we were shooting in the city for
trade-off.
Fix.
Was way before this.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, I don't remember what she was auditioning for. Mm-hmm. Like, what part in the trade-off would she be auditioning for? Mm-hmm. I don't even know.
I'm not entirely sure. But it's one of those cases where she was just out there, and if we, you know, we would just interview people to see if they were legit.
Mm-hmm.
There may or may not have been something for her.
I don't know, but Jesus, would have made something for her. But either way, like she auditioned for both of us separately for two different projects,
mm-hmm.
and this is the one she ended up in.
Yeah. Wow, man.
Yeah.
This scene is, you know, it's pretty good.
She was worth the wait.
Yeah, for sure. Sure.
I'm trying to rack my brain to figure out, like, A, like, why you didn't use her,
yeah.
and B, what did she audition for me for?
I think with me, I was probably either done, I just didn't have anything for her.
Mm-hmm.
I think that might have been it.
Because mm-hmm.
I was casting as I was shooting,
mm-hmm.
but I think she probably came in towards the end,
mm-hmm.
and I just didn't have any more roles, and I, you know, that movie was very tightly budgeted, so I was doing it on film.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't even like write her into it, or maybe there was a couple of scenes that I never completely got filmed. Maybe I was thinking about her in the roles. Can't remember.
She must have been really young when she did the trade-off stuff.
Her?
Jesus, yeah. She was young when she did this.
Yeah.
I'm definitely sure it's a trade-off because I remember the same day with Stephanie.
Yeah.
She must have been young. Maybe it's best she didn't do the movie. Okay. Who knows how
old
she
was. Let's say young. I mean, young. She would have been at least 18.
Yes, yes.
let's clarify that.
Yes.
The bottom line is she was kind of hanging around in our world.
I guess that's why she was so flaky. She was probably like 18, 19, 20.
Yeah.
Somewhere in that range.
Right.
Maybe that's why she was so flaky. But,
who knows? She was in our orbit for a while.
Yeah.
The point being is some of them will do that. Even the other one who was there earlier with the big breasts. I mean, she's the other one who was in the orbit.
She was in it,
And then just came through for this.
Yeah. And with a lot of these girls, man,
this is
the best they've ever looked.
Yeah, when you told me that one was showing up, I was like, dude, you gotta be kidding me. I've seen her pictures out there forever. She has some really big tits.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, I've seen her pictures out there forever. And like, I never thought she'd come through for anything.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when she showed up that day, I'm like, wow, that's her.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's moving like that. You just never know when.
Yeah. Ace? So this on this day we shot that. I love this shot coming up here.
It's a dead man.
Very few artistic shots in the movie, but this is one of them.
I think they're artistic. I beg to differ. It's all artistic. One,
but on yeah, this shot right here. This layer. Jackson
is a dead man.
And again, we shot all of his stuff. They weren't even there the same day. But we shot all of Adonis' stuff within a few hours, just a really short period of time. But that's when we came up with the name, right before we shot this scene. We thought of the name, and then we went out in this car and shot that.
Mm-hmm.
Right before that, we came up with Jackson's dead man. I thought it was a great name. But the two things that hurt the movie from the feedback I got from the reviewers and from the distributor, no one liked the name and no one liked the black and white. And those were the two things I liked about it the most.
Motherfucker, like, what do people have against black and white? It's like, we've always faced it. Like we go out there and we dare to do things that are creative and different.
Mm-hmm.
And then people always have something to say about it.
Yeah.
I think the fact that it's black and white, it has old-fashioned music, it has a good title, it's shot high contrast.
I thought it's interesting. It's a little different, the title. And the look of it, like you said, the black and white is good, but the black and white movies have done the worst. This, House of the Damned, and I did another one called Method Man.
Yeah.
I keep trying, but they perform the worst.
I just don't fucking get it.
Yeah. Anytime you get too creative with the title of your movie and the look of your movie, that's when you really hurt yourself. People want like titles that are like those Seagal titles.
Yeah.
Where it's just like generic and action-y sounding. And they like a uniformed look.
Right.
You know?
Well, we did a color version of it, so.
Yeah, we'll see how that performs. It has performed better. The title of that and the color, the fact that it's in color, I think.
Right.
That's pretty much what people wanted, so we'll see how it performs. But this didn't do anything. This was really poor.
I'm gonna shit. I stand by this one. I think this was everything we aimed for.
Yeah, I mean, I like it.
I think people with a real, you know, creative minds and eyes for film are gonna understand what we were going for here. But I, in some ways, like, it is a lot of sex and violence, but it is a thinking movie. In this way.
Mm-hmm.
You definitely got to think about it. There's the music, the cutaways, the statistics. There's some things going on here where it's not, you know, it's not life.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just something, it's not a Madea movie.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, I'm so amazed that like that one day of just like a couple hours,
mm-hmm.
you chop in those exterior scenes, people don't really know what's going on. It looks like it was just like a lot of footage of exterior stuff.
Yeah.
You wouldn't think that 90%, 95% of the time we were shooting was inside one apartment.
Yeah. With the black or white, it really allows you to have very different looks to it.
Mm-hmm.
And outdoors as well, you just pump up the contrast and switch things around. It can look very, very different.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's one of the reasons why we did that, is to give it more, you know, visual diversity. People think that sometimes like black and white is a limited spectrum, but it's not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, here we have the Of Mice and Men ending.
And I would both they ass.
That's the only way Ace could have ended. It's just to take him out of his own misery.
Yeah.
<It's>
like,
had to. Yeah. How was he gonna keep going?
Mercy,
on
it's
like
a
this?
Mercy killing.
It is. It really is. I like the fact that he's an asshole to the end, even making fun of Walik.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, hey, you fat ass could never swim. It's like he went out the only way he could.
Yeah.
We'll always be at that. And those are happy, peaceful times.
But the lighting is good too here. I like it.
Mm-hmm.
I really can't see their faces, and it's just hard on the right side.
Yeah. Hey, man, I like this movie a lot.
I do. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a movie a lot.
Yeah. Smell of water. Smell of water, Ace.
So when you look at the first set of movies we did, right? Or the movies we did. We did.
Yeah.
House, Lust, They Almost Die, mm-hmm. Hookers,
mm-hmm.
Trade Off, Tortured, Ace, Scumbag.
Mm-hmm.
8 movies. Rough idea, what order would you put those in?
Wow.
I would put Mandingo and They Almost Died towards the top. Without, in no particular order, those two would be at the top.
I'm not as well. I don't know how these movies performed in terms of.
No, forget guys. Performance.
I think Scumbag's the best. I think Ace is second.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I do. I think that.
Above Mandingo.
Yeah.
And above The Almost Died.
Oh, yeah. I think I like to call it Tortured by Regret.
Tortured by Regret, yeah.
The name we use, but
yeah.
I think Tortured would be number three.
Mm-hmm.
I put
Scumbag 1, Ace 2, Tortured / Mandingo 3.
Mm-hmm.
This is very interesting. Glad I asked this question.
Yeah.
Okay.
Probably Trade Off would come in next.
Trade Off next.
What do I have left? I have the original three.
And Hookers.
Then I'd probably go with They Almost Die,
mm-hmm.
and then Hookers,
mm-hmm.
House of the Damned, and Lust.
So Lust would be at the bottom,
yeah.
Scum at the top.
Mm-hmm.
This is number two, huh?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I'm telling you, like in terms of, and again, it's really hard. You know, like Ace and Scumbag, there's such a strong bias that I have for both of these movies because
mm-hmm.
I feel like, in some ways, I know I contributed a lot more to
these. In these two, you contributed more than the others,
yeah,
definitely. A lot more.
The big
more.
Contribution, and
mm-hmm.
I really kind of feel like I know the heart and soul of these movies,
mm-hmm.
you know, like, much better.
So is that it? The fact that you felt like you participated more?
I'm just being honest. Like,
mm-hmm.
when I see them, like, I'm entertained by them. I like
mm-hmm.
the music. I like everything.
And you can see, like, your influence on the movie and
that's
as you watch
yeah,
it.
Yeah, and I really feel like I get the heart and soul of it.
Mm-hmm.
The other movies I thought, like, technically in terms of shooting, Tortured by Regret's probably the best shot movie we did.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, these although they're low budget, they were shot quickly. It's like
mm-hmm.
the heart and soul was just there.
Mm-hmm.
Particularly Scumbag. I feel like Scumbag was my movie in some ways.
Mm-hmm.
Not to take it away from you, but
mm-hmm.
there's a lot that I really put into that movie. And the character, the, you know, all the different, you know, pickpocket scenes, whatever they were, hustle scenes, like all
mm-hmm.
that shit was like a lot of my ideas.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that's just what it is, because I haven't had much success finishing my own movies.
Mm-hmm.
So Scumbag is kind of like the one that resonates with me the most.
Mm-hmm.
And the other movie makes me laugh from beginning to end.
Mm-hmm.
And this would be a number two for different reasons.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I think these are the closest to, like, you know, full circle.
Mm-hmm.
These two were the closest to everything that I thought we were about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, these were definitely the more collaborative of all of them. Okay, that was it. Interesting.
Yeah, Ace.